We're looking again at Psalm 72. And we looked at the first part of this psalm. It is, the Scripture says, the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. And, of course, this appears to be the last psalm that was penned by David, though there are other psalms in the book of the Psalms that appear after this one, yet we understand that these things are not chronological. Most of the Psalms were written by David, but not all of them. And these, at least at this point, this is the last of the Psalms of David. And it is written ostensibly for his son, Solomon. Now, we know that David saw through a glass darkly, even as we do, but he actually, in many ways, saw through a glass more darkly than we do, because he could not see the glories of the risen Christ as we do now. He could not see the glories of the triumphant Christ who reigns as a king over his kingdom. The kingdom that David had in mind when the Lord said that he would set up his son and he would reign forever, was he thought of an earthly kingdom. He thought that was going to be something he could see with his own eyes. But we understand, as the Lord plainly revealed, that his kingdom is not one of flesh and blood. It's not one that can be seen. It doesn't come with observation. But it is one which is established as the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to redeem his people. And he is the king over his people. And he does rule and reign in that kingdom even as we speak. And he has triumphed gloriously over all of his enemies. And there's nothing left to be done insofar as that work is concerned. And Scripture does tell us that he is coming back to receive that which he has purchased with his own blood. And that's the glorious expectation that we do have. But the kingdom of God is not yet to be established, but is already established. And it is that which is glorious. And completely the work of his own hands. Now we looked at, like I said, at the first part of this, and we were looking along about verse 10. I'll begin reading there. It says, the kings of Tarshish and of the Isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and the needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. And he shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. There shall be an handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains. The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. And men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. Now this, of course, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, how that all of the nations of the earth, the Scripture says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And that is true, will ultimately be true in the final day when he is revealed in his glory in a fashion in which he has not yet seen fit to reveal in a manifest manner over all the earth. Now, we as the children of God see that glory. The glory of Christ will not be any different to us. It will be more, I guess, if you want to say visible, to us in that day, and we will see without the with an undimmed eye to the glory of that. But the glory of Christ is revealed even now to the children of God as we see Him high and lifted up. We're not expecting another. John the Baptist, last of the Old Testament prophets, he wasn't, at the end of his life, he wasn't completely convinced that, well, maybe he was wrong. Maybe this wasn't really the one. And he thought it was all the time because things wasn't working out like he planned for it to do. But dear brethren, we have seen Him by the eye of faith, and we shall see Him, as Job said, in my flesh shall I see God, as the Lord is pleased to raise up His people from the dead, and we shall behold Him as that one which He is, even at the present time, even as John saw Him. And the Scripture says that He fell at His feet as a dead man. You know, because the glory of Christ was so great. I mean, we think that we have seen the glory of Christ. And we have. The Lord has seen fit to reveal the glory of Christ, the glory of His name in the face of Jesus Christ. We have seen Him. But yet, just like those disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration, they were humbled before Almighty God when they saw Him face to face, even as Isaiah, whom the Scripture says, he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. And he said, I said, woe is unto me, for I'm a man of unclean lips. And what a humbling thing it is to be brought into the presence of the Lord. But the Lord, He shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. The Lord is the helper of the helpless. He doesn't help those that can help themselves. He doesn't help those that can do things for Him, those that serve Him and do great things, and they figure He'll pat them on the back. That's not the ones He's going to help. The ones He's going to help is the ones that cry out daily, Lord, help us. We're an unclean people in the midst of an unclean people. And we need help. We need deliverance. The Lord will help the poor and the needy. And He shall save their souls. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence. And precious shall their blood be in His sight. The Lord said that, that the redeemed of the Lord are precious. The death of His people are precious in His sight. Because He loves His people. He died for His people. He came into the world to deliver them. And their blood shall be precious in His sight. Now men wonder, well, why is it that the Lord, if He loves His people so much, why would He have them to suffer sometimes and lay down their life in literal blood? Because many is the man and the woman that because of their love for Christ have had to lay down their lives, would not in any wise accept the offer of mercy from the hands of men if they would just, you know, deny the Lord. And so why is that? Well, because the Lord is the Lord. And His ways are above our ways. And see, the thing that we don't grasp is that these things that we see them as men see them. But you see, God, in His infinite wisdom, He sees things in a different fashion than we do. But even though He may send some of His children into the very, into the very presence of death itself for the cause of Christ, even though He may send them into what men would think was a terrible thing, yet He will have glory in this, and it is a pleasing thing in His sight. Because you see, all souls are mine, He said, that every man, woman, boy, and girl belongs to Him. And what can a man say about that? What can a man, what kind of thing could he bring against the Lord? Can he bring against the Lord a railing accusation and say, Lord, you shouldn't do that? No, but he says their blood is precious in his sight. You know, when Lazarus died, and they came, they told the Lord Jesus, well, when he was sick, he said, Lazarus, your friend's sick. You need to come. The Lord tarried where he was. He didn't just drop everything and go. And first thing that Mary said when she came to, or Martha said to him, well, Lord, if you'd have been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. He said, oh, he's not dead. He's just sleeping. He'll live again. Because you see, life and death is nothing unto the Lord. It belongs to Him. Life belongs to Him. Death has no power at all. Death is nothing. Except as the Lord is pleased to use it for His own purpose. And so it is that the blood of the people of God are precious in His sight. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence. He shall live, and to them, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Says that again. He said it up there. The kings of Sheba shall offer gifts. The gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. That couldn't be speaking of anybody. It couldn't have been speaking of Solomon, is it? Did you think about Solomon today? I mean, when you woke up this morning, did you think I need to praise Solomon? No, but you see, the Lord has ordained that God's people shall bring forth praise unto the name of the Lord continually. And so David speaks, though he thinks perhaps he's speaking of Solomon in a measure, yet I believe he had some understanding of the fact that there was one greater than Solomon to come. Also shall it be made for him continually and daily shall he be praised. There's not a day that goes by in the earth when the Lord Jesus Christ is not praised. On every continent on the face of the earth, from the sea to the shining sea. It doesn't make a difference what time of the day or night it is, there are praises that go up continually unto His name. And there's not a thing in the world that anybody can do to stop that. You know, I mean, if they systematically go out and start killing off every one of those who praises His name, the Lord will be raising them up faster than they can put them down. Because the Lord said He can raise up stones to praise Him if it pleases Him. So His name shall indeed be praised daily and continually. There shall be a handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains. The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like the grass of the earth. Now you know, when the Lord came and walked among men, it seemed like a little thing. And the Lord seems like a little thing unto many. The work of the Lord, it doesn't appear like much. I mean, He didn't come on the scene with grandeur and pomp and circumstance, but He came humbly. When He came into Jerusalem, the Scripture says He came meekly on a colt, the foal of an ass. Came riding in town on a donkey. And it didn't seem like much, I mean, to the rank and file person, but to those who knew Him, they threw down the palm fronds in front of Him and their coats, and they worshiped Him. They knew who He was. The Scripture says that the kingdom of heaven, in one of the parables of the Lord, He said the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which when it's sown in the ground and it grows up into a mighty tree. Now that tree, now many try to make that to be like the seed of faith. You know, you put this faith in the ground and, you sow your seed and it grows up this mighty tree and you've got this big tree. Well, brethren, the tree that sprouts from the seed that's sown is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is that tree. He's that one who is that treasure which is hidden in a field. You see, He is that one who's worthy to be praised. And even though men can't see Him as He is by the eye natural eye. It is by the eye of faith that men are given to see. And so when it says here, there shall be a handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains. Let's think about a handful of corn on top of the mountain. What is that? It's nothing. But you see, that handful of corn is indeed the Lord Jesus Christ. For in Him is the seed that belonged to Him. You see, He is that handful of corn which is ultimately sowed into the earth. He is the glorious one who has all of His people in Him when He came into the world. When He went to the cross. When He prayed. He says, I pray not for the world, but I pray for them whom Thou hast given Me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou hast given them to Me. What a glorious thing to consider. The covenant of Almighty God is made with men, but it's made with the man. And we receive the benefits of the covenant blessings of God because of the covenant made between the Father and the Son. The Father said, ask of Me and I'll give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. And here's what we read about right here. There is a handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains. The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like the grass of the earth. You know, are there few that be saved? Well, in some measures, as we read in the Scripture, we would come to the affirmative of that. But yet, in the consideration of the fact that the Lord has people in every kindred, tribe, and tongue in the earth, there's a multitude. John said he saw a multitude which no man could number. That's a lot of folks. And the Lord has spread that in the earth, and He causes that seed to sprout at the appointed time. What a glorious thing. The city shall flourish like grass of the earth. You know, grass is a good thing unless you've got a garden. You try to get rid of it. Well, the people of God are like the grass that grow up in the garden of men. And they do everything they can to get rid of it. You know, we're our nation, we can see that as time has gone on, our nation has abandoned the foundations of righteousness upon which it was in a measure founded. Now, let's don't get too sentimental about that in the thinking, as some people do, that thinking that the United States is somehow a righteous nation because we were founded on the Bible and all of that stuff. Now, having said that, it is a true thing, however, that many of the men who were the founders of this nation were indeed godly men, and so you can, in that fashion, say that many of the principles upon which our nation was founded are indeed godly principles. And we are fast trying to do away with all of them. And in fact, if the rank and file had their way, if it was not that the Lord was the one that preserves these things, that we'd have been overthrown in a heartbeat. But as long as the grass flourishes in the earth, see, the gardeners of the way of man, they're constantly trying to get rid of the garden. They'll spray it with stuff and they'll hoe it. And, you know, they just do all kinds of things. They pull it out, they try to get rid of it, but it just keeps coming back. Anything in the world they can do about it. And as long as the Lord is upon His throne, He will have a witness in the earth of His glory. And He will be testified to. And the people of God shall indeed flourish like the grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. And men shall be blessed in Him. All nations shall call Him blessed. Even the nations that, where there are other religions that worship other gods. the Lord has a people in their midst, and they call Him blessed. They worship at His feet. Now, in many of these places, they do their dead level best to stamp these people out. You know, China is a place where the Lord has a witness. Iran is a place where the Lord has a witness. North Korea is a place where the Lord has a witness. All of these nations indeed have a witness unto the glory of God. And it can't be put out, because His name shall endure forever. He has a people. Now, they're not necessarily those that you see. I mean, you know, there's a Christianity that goes by the statistics. You know, they say, well, there's so many Christians here in this country and so many in that. Well, this doesn't have anything to do with that. I mean, you can't tell how many Christians is in the world by statistics. But you see, the Lord knows every one of those that are His. Because not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. And not all of the statistical Christians that are in the earth are indeed those that belong to the Lord. But the Lord has His people. They might not be counted, because they might not be out in the open in such a fashion that anybody would know who they are. But the Lord knows who they are, according to the good pleasure of His will. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. He's the only one who does wondrous things, and all the things that He does are glorious. There's not anything that He would undertake to do which is not, first of all, designed for His glory. Now that, I guess that's the one thing that as a man begins to understand what it is that the Lord has done in the earth, is to understand that all that He's done in the earth is unto His glory. I mean, why do we preach the gospel? Unto His glory. See, a lot of people think that the Lord is trying to do something in the earth. I listen to a fellow on the radio sometimes, and he's all the time talking about what God wants us to do. Now, dear brethren, when God wants somebody to do something, you can be sure of this, that they're going to do it. You see, God wanted Jonah down in Nineveh. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh, but the Lord wanted Jonah in Nineveh. And Jonah thought he was getting on a boat that was going the other way to escape from going to Nineveh. But the Lord wanted Jonah in Nineveh, and He wanted Jonah on that boat because the Scripture says that He had prepared a fish to swallow Jonah. Now, wouldn't that have been something if Jonah decided to go? And the fish had been swimming around out there wondering where Jonah was. But you see, the Lord calls Jonah to buy a ticket away from Nineveh as well as He sent him to Nineveh, because His name would be glorified. Because the Lord said, as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be. See, it was necessary. Oh, what a glorious thing. It was necessary for Jonah to be swallowed by the whale, was it not? I mean, if he hadn't been swallowed by the whale, what? How would that have been? It had to be that way, according to the purpose of God. Now, men look at that and they scoff and say, how foolish a kind of a thing is that? But brethren, there's glory. The glory of God is seen in the minute details of how He works all things for good to those that love God, who are the called according to His purpose. All things. Even those things that we wouldn't consider at the time are good, the Lord works them together for our good. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. What can a man say about the things the Lord is pleased to do? Not a thing in the world. and blessed be His glorious name forever. And let the earth be filled with His glory. Amen and amen. Now what? Is there, can there be any of the children of God, is it possible that there could be a man who is a child of God who would not desire for the name of Christ to be glorified in the earth? I don't think it's possible. Because you see, that's what God has called His people from the earth to do, is to bring glory to His name. Through the ages to come, He might demonstrate the glory of His grace in that people that He has raised up from the dunghill. That handful of corn that He's been pleased to sow from the top of the mountains. And He's caused His kingdom to rise like a mountain out of the earth. And there's nothing that anybody can do to overturn it. Blessed be His glorious name forever. Let the whole earth be filled with His glory. That's our desire. Oh, that men might worship Him everywhere. I mean, are we against folks worshiping the Lord wherever they are? And we want men to glorify the name of the Lord in the earth. But we're not so foolish to think that because somebody says they're going to worship God in some fashion that they've made up, that that is the worship of God. See, there's one God. And He's revealed Himself in the earth. God has spoken by His Son. Dear brethren, there's no other way that a man can know God apart from knowing Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. It's impossible. And I mean, it depends how sincere somebody is, or how moral they might be, or how many good deeds they might do in the earth, apart from the knowledge of Jesus Christ and being found in Him, there is no salvation. Now that's a glorious thing. It's not glorious to the natural man because he doesn't like that. Oh well, that, you're just too narrow-minded. I mean, you're just ruling out a bunch of people. Well, I'm not ruling out anybody because the Lord knows them that are His. But I know this, that the Lord has chosen to bring glory to His name through the name of one individual who has walked upon the earth, who spoke to Philip when He said, "I and the Father are one." His name is Jesus Christ. And He will be glorified in the earth. Oh, that men might fall down and worship Him. That's our desire. I mean, if there was something I could do to cause that to occur, I'd do it right now. But all we can do is that which we're sent to do. And that is to magnify the name of Christ in the earth. Oh, that He might be glorified. Amen and amen. Not just amen, but amen and amen. Let it be, let it be. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. What a glorious way to end them. Was it not? You know, wouldn't that be a glorious thing? That be the last words that you speak in this earth? Let Christ be praised. Oh, what a glorious thing. I can't think of a better way to go out than with the praise of the Lord Jesus Christ upon our lips. May He be praised. And may we with our last breath praise Him, who's worthy of all praise.